Good time of worship, huh? Yes. Ah, good time with you, man. Oh, so good. Hey! Yeah, there you go. Okay, here we go, guys. Hey, guys, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I wasn't really planning on this, but I thought I would just remind us of a couple things before we go on. So I think maybe being reminded is going to be a good thing for us as we keep going. You guys have a good day? I hope you did. And now we got a great time tonight too, and another whole day tomorrow. It's going to be awesome, you guys. I saw you guys had a new verse today, right? Anybody learn it? Really? Anybody want to say it right here on the spot? Oh, no. Oh, wait, you're going to say it, man. What is it? Oh, he almost out. And I'm just putting you on the spot. You're gonna do it? Whoa! So you memorize it. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Job is saying this. He's talking to his friends. He's saying, "Hey, you know what?" And let me just kind of just go through a little bit. So he's saying something about, let's see, when I go through a test, I'll come out like what? And so Job must be thinking God is testing me. And somehow, some way, I have no idea what in the world's going on, but I'm going to come out like gold. Is that right? Remind you just a little bit maybe of this morning when we said, hey, why God is using every single thing in our lives to do what? For the good. And what's the good? That we become like Jesus. Sounds like gold to me. And gold, when you're refining something, guys, you're refining it with gold. You melt it down so you can get out all of the impurities in it. See, we are that lump of gold. And we have impurities in us. And the only way to get us out and just have Jesus left is if we are melted down and we go through like a furnace to get all the impurities out. That's what we talked about a little bit this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it just kind of goes along with that verse you guys memorized today. Look at verse 3, and it's going to remind us of a couple other things too. Remember I told you 1 Peter is a book, it's a letter written about suffering. Peter is writing to people who are suffering, and they're wondering why. And they're wondering, how can I get through it? It's the same book, remember, that we just looked at this morning, that he says, hey, when Jesus suffered, he didn't suffer so you wouldn't have to. He suffered so you would what? Know how to. Yeah, you would learn how to. You know how to. He says, that's why you're doing it. There is a purpose in it. But there's even more than that. He says this in verse 3. He goes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That says a lot in verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, that says a lot. But isn't that what's happened to us? Everybody, every one of us has given our life to Jesus Christ. We have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. We have life after death too. Right? He says, and when that comes, when this resurrection from the dead comes, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Look at all the words describing what's after this life. This life is not, guys, at the end of this life, when we die, most people say that's the end. We know that's not true. It's exactly the opposite. When we die, it's the beginning. It's truly the beginning. And all of this stuff that's happening. Guys, remember, take out your pen again. Let's just remember. Every time you pick up a pen, I hope you remember this. Just to remind yourself, hold it. Let's get everything in perspective. This is what's going on in my life right now. This is really hard. This is what's going on. Oh, no, how long is this going to last? How long is it going to last if it lasts the rest of your life? How long? The tip. That's as long as it's going to last if it lasts the rest of your life. And then after that, How far did this pen go? Forever. And forever. after that, you have an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven. It's never going to go away. It is there. You will always get it. Who, by God's power, and God's got a lot of power, you're being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God has all this power, keeping this all in place for all eternity, for it to be fully revealed to you in the last time. When you die is when you're going to fully realize the inheritance you actually have. That's what's going to happen. And then he says this in verse 6. In this you rejoice. Isn't that great news? Our eternity is secure no matter what happens in this dip. It's secure. In this you rejoice. And then he says this. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. You know what Peter is doing? He's picking up the pen and he's talking about the tip. We rejoice in all of this. Remember, after we die, not one thing bad will happen. Everything that's even ever bad is going to happen in this tip. And he calls it a little while. When you think about, when I think about my life, is maybe you're thinking of life, maybe you live 80, 90 years. That's a long time. Until you step back and say, hold it. How long is that compared to a million years? It's nothing. Nothing. Just like when you were a little kid. Remember you were a little kid and summers lasted forever? And a day was even late. And then as you're getting older, it's like, oh, it's getting shorter and shorter because you're living more and more years. Then you're going, when you were a child, once you lived to one, oh my goodness, it would double your life to get to two. The whole perspective changes. Age two was forever from you. When you were four, 8 years old was forever from you. As you get older, and you understand that these years are not actually as long as we think they are, and your lifetime isn't as long as you think it is, and you look at it compared to eternity, 80 years compared to 80, the number 80 compared to 1 million, is that a lot? It's not. And I'm saying 1 million. It's infinite. He goes, man, if you suffer, and he's talking about suffering for the rest of your life. He's saying, if you guys suffer, it's a little while. If necessary, if you need to, again, it might be needed. There's reasons for it. It's not just random. He goes, you have been grieved by the various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith. Oh, this is where we talk about the Job passage. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That if during this time you're going through things that are refining you, that it's like gold going through a furnace, that's melting it down in order to get the impurities out. But at the very end of this thing, when you finally face Jesus Christ, you are becoming more and more like him, and your faith has been tested that during this life, you've never rejected him. You said, I don't care. I'm not going to trust him to work things out. I'm going to trust him what? No matter how things work out. And I know he's got a plan. We actually looked at it this morning. He actually is using these things. They're not just like, oh, can you handle these tests? There's a reason for it. Job himself said, yeah, he didn't know about the whole Satan thing, but he knew that God always used things to test you, to refine you, to maybe just show how much faith you really have. And he says, that's what it is. Turn to the end of the book of Peter. 1 Peter 5. I just want to read this. After he talks about all these ways of being able to go through suffering. Again, read the letter if you're like, hey, I want to know more. It's a great letter to read the whole thing. But then he says it at the very end again, too. In chapter 5, verse 10, he says this. And after you have suffered, how long? A little while. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. In a million years from now, anything bad that's happening to me right now, I doubt I'm even going to remember it. Just like you can barely remember the things that happened to you when you were one and two. That's what it's going to be. So great. I just want to remind us of that. There's another reason. If you're going, okay, but there's another reason. Even though it's not going to last very long, so that helps us. It's not going to last that long no matter what it is. But let's look at even another reason why God might be having you go through a hard time, might be having something hard in your life that he is not getting rid of, and he might not even get rid of it for the rest of your life. Look at 2 Corinthians. Turn a few books right before that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll let you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians, so it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Get the Galatians, too far. We actually saw 2 Corinthians this morning. We were in chapter 4. Now we're in chapter 12. Paul, in chapter 12, in this book, this letter, he's writing to the Corinthians, and the Corinthian church is not, they're really dysfunctional. They're not doing great. They bicker, they fight, they're selfish. All this stuff, and now the second letter that Paul writes to them and still trying to correct some things that they're doing, and now they're actually thinking, well, maybe Paul isn't a great apostle, and he has to say some things that defend himself and say, hey, you know what? I've been called by God. I just want to let you guys know God's given me this word, all of this. And then he talks in chapter 12, he talks about some things that happened in his life that was very unique. There was a time in Paul's life that he says, I don't even know if it was physically happening or if it was a vision, but it seemed so real that I can't even tell if it was a dream or if it was actually happening for real. But he said, I was caught up into heaven. And I saw things and mysteries that I can't even explain, that nobody's ever seen. And God showed me these things. And he said, man, I don't even know if I could even explain them. But this incredible thing happened to me, which... he starts saying, when something like that happens, when something very unique happens to you and it's really special, you know what can start happening too? I can start becoming proud. Oh, I experienced this. Have you experienced that? Oh, you haven't? Oh, too bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what? I think I'm the only one that was able to survive this. I think I'm the only one that was able to do, you know, you could become more conceited, and that's what was happening, or that could have happened with Paul. And it says, let's just pick it up in verse 7. He starts talking about, man, I saw this stuff and everything else. And then he says in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, we know what he's talking about now, right? Because I saw these incredible things nobody else would ever see. And to keep me from becoming conceited about it, oh, I must be so special, a thorn was given me in the flesh. He doesn't say exactly what it is, but I want us to just imagine that picture. You ever got a thorn in your flesh? Oh, I got a splinter before. In fact, last week, I got a splinter right here. It took forever to get out. It's just one little splinter. He's not talking about like a splinter. He's not going to talk about something that gets gashed into you. And I don't know if that's ever happened. You stepped on a nail before, and the nail goes through your foot. And he goes, man, it's like that. He said, there was this thorn that was given in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. That sounds a little bit like Job, doesn't it? God said, Satan said, hey, let me do this. And he said, okay, go ahead and do it. And Job even like made all of these sores come across all of Job's body that he had to pick up some sharp stuff just to scratch himself and scratch open the sores. If you haven't read chapter 2 yet of Job, read it. It's crazy. All this stuff that happened to him, and just in his flesh, at the very end, he said, hey, what am I supposed to do? Just accept good things from God? He's God. It's crazy. But that's what happened. And so something was happening to Paul. It doesn't say exactly what it is, but a thorn in the flesh. It was something that was really hard. It was suffering for him. It was not good. It was a messenger of Satan to harass him. So he had this thing that was always present with him that just continued to hurt and hurt and hurt. He says, why did it happen? What does he say? To keep me from becoming what? Conceited. proud. Independent. I'm something special. To keep me from becoming conceited. Could it be possible that God could have something bad happen in our lives and it stays with us? Some kind of thorn? Is it possible that that could be happening just to keep us from being conceited and being independent? Is that possible? I'm not saying that is the reason why. Remember, we're going over all kinds of different reasons. It might not be why something has happened. Maybe it's just something to think about. Ooh, I haven't even thought about that. I've just thought about this as a thorn from Satan, and it must be really bad, so it must be, it's not has any purpose at all, but it does have a purpose. The stuff that God was allowing to happen in Job's life did have purpose. Job still didn't even know what it was, but it did, and this is one of the reasons. And Paul happened to know what it was. I know it's because it was to keep me from being conceited. Then he says this in verse 8, three times I pleaded. That word pleaded means I begged with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. I begged God, please take this away. Maybe I could even see Paul. If I was Paul, I'd be like, I promise I won't get proud. I promise I won't be conceited. I promise I won't do it. Come on, just take this away. I got it, God. You know what I mean? That's what I'd be saying. Please. I've learned this lesson. I know I'll stay humble. Will you please just take this away? And he says in verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, you don't need me to take this away from you. My grace is enough. Do you need this to be taken away in order to trust me, Paul? Do you need this to be taken away from you in order for you to be okay? Or will you trust me that if I keep this in your life, this hurting thing, that I know what I'm doing, and I'm not just going to give you that hurting thing. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you my power in order for you to be able to live through it. And live with it until you meet me one day. As far as we know, that never left Paul until the day that he died and went into eternity. Remember, all the pain we're ever going to experience is during this little teeny little while that we have here. But he goes. But it probably lasted for his entire life. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, when you have this thorn in your flesh, maybe it was something that other people could even see. I don't know. But he says, and then you're able to accomplish what I've called you to accomplish. Nobody will think that you're the one that's able to accomplish it. Nobody. They're going to know you're too weak to do it. You're going to know you're too weak to do it. To be able to accomplish my will. So when you do, you know it's not you at all. You know it's all me. And who are you going to give credit to? To yourself? No. You're going to give credit to me. And all the credit goes to me because all the power is mine. Look what Paul does. He changes his mind in that moment. He goes, whoa, when God told me that, it looks like I stopped asking him to even take it away. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness. And he doesn't just say that one. He says of my weaknesses. I'm not even going to look at this thorn in my flesh. All the other weaknesses that I have, all the other things that I'm not super strong at, I'm going to rejoice in that so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses. And he keeps going even more. I'm content with insults. I'm content with hardships. I'm content with persecutions. I'm content with calamities. Why? For when I am weak, I'm strong. And he's already said it's not his strength. Whose is it? It's Jesus' strength. The weaker I look and the more stuff that's going on in my life that should be just demolishing me and tearing me apart, whatever it is, and yet I continue to be faithful and I continue to just walk in God's will and God's plan for my life and I keep trusting him, I'm telling you, people are going to look at my life and they're not going to say, Paul, you are something. You are doing such a good job. They're going to look at me and say, how in the world can this happen? God must be doing this through you because there's no way you can do it on your own. There's no way. Is it possible? It's just another question to ask. Sometimes there's more than one reason why God is allowing bad things to happen. Maybe this is one of them. I just want to go through some of them. I will tell you this, and this is a very personal thing to myself and my family. When I look at this, my wife Sherry, she so much relates to this, and I want to tell you about Sherry, my wife. She's not up here this week. She hasn't been able to come with me to speak at a camp 4 or 5 years now because her body cannot handle it. It's really difficult for her not to sleep in her own bed. We have a special bed with a special mattress. She has a disease. It's called Forstier's disease. It's a really rare disease. She has a real extreme case of this really rare disease. And Forstier's disease is basically this. I'll say it as best that I can think of it. It's a disease that genetically what's happening in your body is all, it could either be the ligaments in between your bones or your bones itself are actually calcifying, becoming more calcified and calcified. So your bones are actually naturally fusing together. Mostly it happens in somebody's spine. So if you ask my wife, Sherry, will you turn your head? She could probably turn her head about this much right now. One day, she will not be able to turn her head at all because her bones are fusing together. Some people actually do that in surgery on purpose. People with a bad back, they'll get some vertebrae like fused together and so they don't have as much mobility, but it actually helps the pain, whatever pain they're having, because so things don't move. This is happening naturally. It's happening through her spine, and she has a severe case of it that's affecting her entire body. And her bones are slowly fusing together. It's incredibly painful. She's always in pain. Always. I don't know if I can relate to that. She's in so much pain always that she has to take a certain medication every day for anti-inflammatory medication just to help manage it for her. She has a special chiropractor that we drive to once a month who knows the disease. He's a specialist in the disease who helps her to hopefully help her body adjust to her bones fusing together. Because you can't stop it. You just manage it. He's hoping that one day her bones will fuse together enough that her pain will actually subside. But as her pain subsides, her mobility will also subside. That makes sense? She also will move less and less. But hopefully her pain will go down too, but it hasn't happened yet. We have gone to God way more than 3 times. Other people, and usually what happens when I say this, there's somebody that says, I'm going to pray for Sherry and I'm going to pray that she gets healed. Thank you. That's great. But I got to tell you, she's pretty sure that she got the answer from God. And it is, my grace is sufficient for you. Because in your weakness, I'm going to show my power. She has said this. It struggled for a long time. And she still has her days of struggling, you guys. Don't get me wrong. I bet you Paul did too. But man, for the most part, I cannot believe what I see in my wife. And other people, when they know the disease and then they watch her and what God does with her, they're blown away, and they know. And we're seeing exactly this example. They know there's no way Sherry has been able to minister and still have the attitude she has. She has joy. She's at peace. And nobody can understand. I can't understand that. She's my wife. She said, this disease makes her wake up every morning and say to God, I have to have you today because I cannot make it today by myself. Every day. She said, it has not just made her dependent on God, which is what sometimes things will happen in your life to make you dependent on God. It might not be just a disease, by the way. It could be something else, just something falling apart in your life, things you count on, and it's not there anymore. Now what are you going to do? Who are you going to depend on? What do you do? But for her, she said, this is her word, it makes me desperate for God. Desperate. And she is thankful for that. Because she knows what I try to know, but I keep forgetting, for any of us and all of us, that nothing bad is really happening in your life. Get it? Get this. Isn't it incredible? When things aren't bad happening in our lives, it's weird. We pray for help less. When things are going, falling apart, it just falls apart. How much are you praying to God for help? A lot. When things are going great, isn't it easy just to kind of forget? Until you need help. So God hasn't put Sherry through this, or God didn't put Paul through this, or God doesn't have some difficult thing happen in our lives so that finally we will need him. I'm going to make this bad thing happen because it's not like God's saying, I want to be needed. I want to be needed. So I'm going to make something bad happen to you so hard that you're going to finally have to need me. That's not what God is doing. Because we all need God just as much as Sherry does. Just as much. When everything is going well, we need God and we need his power and his help just as much as when everything is going bad. We forget. So God is doing something in our lives and having something like that and allowing that to happen in our lives in order for him to be needed. It's for us to realize how much we already do need him. And this is crazy that Sherry would actually say, God has gifted me with this disease so that I will never forget that I need him. Isn't that crazy? What if we actually got to that place? This is taken out of my life, this relationship, this thing, whatever it is, I can't do this anymore, whatever it is, whatever is happening in your life, whatever could happen in your life, that when that happens, could you actually get to a place where, like Paul says, I will rejoice even more because in my weakness it's his power. And so, you know what? This finally is going to be the thing that reminds me every day that I get up for the rest of my life how much I need him. I already did need him, but I don't realize it, and now I can. This is going to be an incredible reminder. Can you believe thinking that way? I gotta say, I think some of you can. I think you can think that way. I think deep down you're going, you know what? I do know I need God. I forget. So if I need something, a thorn in my flesh, I need something tough that I have to go through for a season or even for the rest of my life, that God is going to give me so that I will always, always depend on him and never myself or anyone else or anything else. Okay. Okay. Whew. Can I pray for us that we would just have that attitude, whether God does whatever he does in our lives or not? Remember we looked at Hebrews, guys? By faith, some people conquer kingdoms. So it's not, God might have everything go great. By faith, if you die by the sword, then by faith we're going to trust him too, but he's got a plan to do something in you and to keep you dependent on him. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for the reminder tonight. I pray that as we go into our so what times even now, that we would have a good discussion, just praying for willingness to be, just have the attitude of Paul. God, that you would have us just read that chapter again, and then we go, can I actually think like Paul did? Can I actually just go, okay, God, whatever you have for me, I know you have a plan for it, and if it's to make me more like your son Jesus, then that's great. And if it's to make me dependent upon you and to help me remember for the rest of my life to stay dependent upon you, then God, you do whatever it takes for me to trust you so people don't see us. So we're broken open and people don't see us anymore. They see you. They see your son, Jesus. That's what we want. So God, do whatever needs to happen. Whenever that needs to happen, good or bad, hard or easy. We want to trust you no matter how things work out. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.